want to bring you a message today entitled Conflict at Home. I thought I would pick a subject that nobody in this room knew anything about. And so hold on, I'm going to teach you something. Although I didn't know anything about it before I started studying on the subject of conflict at home. But the truth of the matter is this is something that we know about, right? How many of you have ever experienced a little bit of conflict at home? Let me see your hands. All right, and the rest of you are lying. Okay? And the truth is this is something we know all too well about. We know about conflicts at home. And here's two people that live together, two sisters, and there was a little bit of conflict here going on between Martha and Mary, two sisters that lived in the town of Bethany and that served the Lord a meal. And we read of these sisters a number of times in the Gospels, and this is but one indication of the relationship that Jesus cultivated with this family over the space of His ministry. And we know that even towards the end of the Lord's ministry, as the Lord was preparing to go to Calvary, this family factored largely in the preparation. Of course, we know that Mary anointed the feet of Jesus and washed the feet of Jesus with the hairs of her head, pouring out the precious alabaster box of ointment upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, "This has she done against the day of my burial." And it was prophetic in what she did. And so these were two people that meant a great deal to the Lord. But you know, I think that in the story of Mary and Martha, we find revealed much of the problem that exists in Christianity. I think there are a lot of people who have invited the Prince of Peace into their heart, but really, he's not running the home, or they would have peace there. They've invited the Prince of Peace into their heart, but really, he's not running the home. Who's running it? They are. Because really, if the Prince of Peace was running your home, you'd probably enjoy a good deal measure more of peace. We probably would have far less conflict than what we experience. I've discovered that even people that have been saved for a long time that know better still have trouble at home. And I'm challenging folks this month to live a peaceable life. I don't know about you, but this world has altogether too much drama that it wants to offer us. You know, how many of you would like to minimize the drama in your life? Let me see your hands. All right? Some of you have two hands up today. It tells us something. I mean, maybe you live with a drama king in your house or drama queen, as the case may be. And that drama queen might be 3 years old. I don't know. Have you seen a few drama queens that age? Some of you are like, "Do you have surveillance cameras in my home that I'm unaware of? What's going on here?" And all I have to do is occasionally walk through the Walmart, and I can tell you that the world is filled with drama kings and queens of every age, of every age. And wouldn't it be nice just to say, I consistently live a peaceable life that's drama-free, stress-free. Now, we're going to have stress. The Bible says, and Jesus wasn't trying to discourage us, He was trying to prepare us. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Didn't the Lord say that? So He said, you're going to have some things that don't go exactly right. You're going to have some people that try to trouble you. That's just part and parcel to living in an imperfect world. But the Christian home should be a place that is characterized by quietness and peace in the spirit of that home. And if that's absent from your home, then I believe the Bible has the answers for us. And I think there are some things revealed in this issue between two sisters living in the same home that we can draw from today. I want us to examine this, if we may. And first of all, I want us to see two sisters. Now, the truth is that these two sisters were hospitable to the Lord. The Bible says, it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. Now, here the credit is given to Martha that she said, "Lord, we'd like for you to come over for some dinner, maybe." I don't know exactly how the invitation came about. The Bible does not share that with us. But the Bible does credit Martha. And before we start getting too upset with Martha for not sitting down at Jesus' feet and for not worshiping at the feet of Jesus and all the things that we customarily put on Martha at this moment, let's give her some credit for the fact that she invited Jesus over to the house, right? How many of you say, "I'll give Martha credit for the fact that she invited Jesus over to the house"? You know, that's better than a lot of people will do, isn't it? And so the truth is that these two sisters were hospitable to the Lord. And I find that not only was Martha hospitable in inviting Jesus to the home, but the Bible also tells us that Mary was hospitable to Jesus in the respect that she sat at His feet and did Him reverence. Now, we find also that they had a brother. Their brother's name was Lazarus. How many of you remember Lazarus? He was that guy that was dead. I forgot how to talk all of a sudden. He was dead. He got dead. He was dead for 4 days before the Lord came to Bethany. Remember that story? He was laying in the grave, and the Lord was going over the grave. He called him to open it, you know, and the sisters, Mary and Martha, are saying, "Lord, he stinks." And, my wife rode on the bus every night after VBS. And she said, "Honey, we need to teach these kids a little bit of hygiene." It smelled like somebody died on that bus, you know. So I don't know if that smelled like the grave that Lazarus came out of. But the truth is, we know the story about how Lazarus died. And after 4 days, the Lord went to the graveside. And what did He do? He raised him up from the dead. How many of you remember that one? So he raised Lazarus from out of the grave, and Mary and Martha were there. So we know that the brother of these two sisters was Lazarus. And then I want you to see that conflict between siblings is nothing new. How many of you have a brother or a sister? Let me see your hand. Okay, good. That's wonderful. And I'm not going to ask you to fess up to it, but I'm sure that some of you at some point in time or another have had a conflict with a sibling, right? Now, I have 6 kids, and they have never had a conflict at all. They are such great kids. No, they're little hellions is what they are, you know. And you know, I tell you what brothers are supposed to do. Brothers, it's their job to harass their sisters. How many of you know that? I mean, that's just their job. I mean, that's what we do, right? I mean, I was a brother. I had a kid sister. It was just my job description to be her harasser, you know. And my big brother, Paul, you know, he would harass her, and to the point where it was over the top, you know. And then I'd get in a fight with Paul, you know, and be in more conflict with him. Some of you know what that's like, don't you? Some of you still having some conflict, like some of you in counseling over it, aren't you? I can tell already. And some of you taking medicine because of it. I can tell by the drool coming down the side of your cheek. But anyway. But, you know, the truth is, this is a theme that is as old as Cain and Abel, isn't it? Siblings against one another. So there's nothing new about this idea of conflict at home. It existed in the garden, really, but we see a classic example of that found in the relationship of Cain and Abel, and how that Cain slew Abel because of his jealousy and his indignation that the offering that Abel brought was respected by the Lord and Cain's was not. So we see two sisters, and anytime you get two people together, sibling or not, you know what? You have the potential for conflict. How many of you know this? Okay? You know, sometimes I talk to people and they say, you know, this is Gertrude, my wife, and we've been married for, you know, 98 years and we've never had an argument. And I think to myself, has the coma lasted that long? You know, folks, listen. You can't put two human beings together and have them live under the same roof forever without occasionally having some kind of disagreement, right? Right? I mean, I people are ready to throw down over paper or plastic, you know? You know, are we going to have fried or poached, I don't know. But people argue about the silliest things sometimes, and sometimes we get so mad about it, we drag it out, and the anger goes on, and after a little while, we don't even remember what caused the fight. We just know that we are fighting, right? We're not sure why, but it's there, and the drama exists. So we see two sisters, and whenever you put two human beings together, you have the potential for conflict. But you notice also two spirits here, two spirits. Each of them had a different spirit, didn't they? Let's look at this for just a moment. The Bible says that Martha received the Lord into her house in verse 38. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And that teaches us something about the spirit that she had. Verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And I'm glad I wasn't married to Martha. And verse number 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, let's see something about the spirit of Martha, shall we? Let's look at the spirit of Martha. We find this, that she was burdened in her spirit. Okay? She was burdened in her spirit. She was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered means burdened. She just had a heaviness on her. I've got this load of stuff that I have to get done. Now, how many of you know somebody that's always stressed out about what they got to get done? Let me see your hands. Always stressed out about it. And now, how many of you know somebody that's like, no big deal, it'll get done somehow. You know people like that. Don't you hate them? You know, the people that are burdened about it have conflict with those that aren't. You know, normally is what I find. But here we find she was burdened in her spirit. She was all stressed out about everything that she had to get done. All the service that she had to do. She was just overwhelmed by it. And then the Bible reveals to us something else. That she was careful. And that means filled with care. So she was anxious in her spirit. So she had all this anxiety. So now she had the stress and the burden on her shoulders. And to make matters worse, she had all this anxiety. You know, what did they do back then without drugs? Is that a fair question? I mean, I'm just asking. You know, what did they do back then without all the drugs that people live on today to get through and do what they got to do? You know, the truth of the matter is, some of you are thinking that same thing right now. I don't know. That's a hard one. They got through it. They did. They managed. You know, the truth is this. She was filled with anxiety in her spirit. She was burdened down by all that she had to get done. Some of you think, that preacher's reading my mail. He's describing me today. The Bible tells us that she was troubled. And as I began to study this, that means that her spirit was turbulent. And it's like stirring the waters in her spirit. And that shows us she was aggravated. Now, listen, if you had God over to lunch, do you think you'd be bossing Him around? If you were aggravated enough, you might. Right? And yet, she had God over to lunch, and she was bossing God around. Why? She was aggravated at her sister. Now, get this. She was stressed out and burdened. Number one. Number two, she had all this anxiety about everything that had to get done. She was so filled with care about it. And number three, the Bible tells us that she was troubled. That meant she was aggravated about it. Now, she was a high-intensity woman. I'm not going to ask if we have one like that here because I want to make it out of the service alive. Because, you know, the Bible does say it's better to dwell in a rooftop than in a wide house with a brawling woman. Right? So, I choose the rooftop. I'm taking the high road today. I'm not going to ask that question. But, you know, so we see the spirit of Martha. She was burdened down. She was filled with anxiety. And she was aggravated at her stinking sister. And then the Bible tells us this. That she went over to the Lord and said, I just imagine she had a hand on the hip, maybe two, right? I mean, you look from the language. I mean, she's asking the Lord. And let's take it out of the King's English for just a second and put it in today's English. She said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? You know, like, Lord, don't you care that I'm having to do all the work by myself? Tell my sister to get in the kitchen and help me out. Right? I mean, that's exactly what she's saying to God. Do you get this? Some of you are like, the point is exactly what? Oh, some of you are thinking, and this is so strange, how? This happens every day in my house. Right? So, the spirit of Martha was burdened, it was anxious, it was aggravated, and it was demanding. She wanted to tell Jesus what to do. Right? You know, I find a world of people, even that call themselves Christians, that want the Lord to be their cosmic errand boy so they can tell Him what to do for them. And they think that if they have the force of faith, He's got to do it. Right? That's what they think. How are you any different from Martha? Huh? Stressed out so much that you start bossing God around. Now, I don't think that there are too many guys here that would want to sign up to take Martha out on a blind date. Right? Any takers? You're thinking, dude, I got enough drama in my life. I don't need this. Right? She'd constantly be stressing me out. I got enough stress going on in my life without that going on. Now, I'm saying to you, that was what was in her spirit, little s spirit. We see the spirit of Mary. And this is really entirely opposed to the spirit of Martha. Mary was settled in her spirit. You know what she did? She sat down. She was settled in her spirit. She wasn't troubled in her spirit. She was settled. She sat down. You know, people that are troubled in their spirit have a hard time just sitting still. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't sit. There's something I got to do. And even when they're sitting still, they're stressing and obsessing and their hands are going. And you know what I'm saying? Anybody know anybody like that? Yeah, somebody say, you're talking about me. She was humble in her spirit. How do I know? Because she sat down at the feet of Jesus and she listened. You know, most of us, if we had an audience with the Lord Jesus, if He came to our house for lunch, we'd never learn anything because we'd be too busy talking. Right? I remember one time I was riding down the road with some men from the church, and we'd been 2 or 3 hours in the car together, and one person had done like 99% of the talking. Somebody turned back to the person that was talking and said, you know, a conversation normally has give and take. You ask questions, but you don't give us a chance to respond. And it's a little frustrating. So why don't we practice being conversationalists here, you know? But she sat down and she listened because she didn't think she knew it all she wanted to hear. Not only that, she was worshipful in her spirit because the Bible tells us she chose the good part that would not be taken away. And the Bible reveals to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that that would have been love motivated. And so it was a worshipful spirit that she came to the Lord with. And she sat at His feet and she worshipped and listened to what the Lord had to say to her. So we find two sisters with two different spirits altogether. They came from the same home. They had the same brother. They ate the same food. They lived in the same place. They had the same environment, the same influences. But they were different entirely. I wonder why. Well, the Bible reveals some things to us. Would you notice not only two sisters with two spirits, but understand we see two masters. Here we see that Martha served. She was cumbered about much serving. She was feeding the Lord, but she was telling the Lord what to do. Because she wanted God to make sure that this was going the right way. And Martha was trying to serve God and self, which will only produce frustration. Now, can I tell you something? I've discovered something in my 49 years of living, that life is hard. How many of you have found that out? I mean, this is not a spectator sport. This is really a thing where you can take some lumps. How many of you know life is hard? So living one life is difficult. But do you know what I've discovered? That most people have doubled the degree of difficulty because they're not just trying to live a life, they're trying to live two. They're trying to have one foot in God's house and say, okay, I'm a Christian, I'll serve the Lord, while at the same time serving their own interests. And do you know all that's ever going to do for you? It's going to frustrate you. Because you know what? You'll not find fulfillment in either one. And the answer is not just to serve yourself, because then you're headed for a train wreck. Not just frustration. You understand? And here's a lady that was saying, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. Lord, come over for lunch. We're going to fix this meal and all of this. And so now she's going to serve God, but she's trying to serve herself. And so that only produced frustration. And how do I know she was trying to serve herself? Because she wanted her sister to come and do what she wanted her sister to do. And instead of letting God be God, she's trying to tell God now what He should be doing to fix the situation. We find that she wanted to serve, but on her terms, as revealed by her request to Christ. Okay? What did she want to do? She wanted to serve, but she was only going to serve joyfully so long as Mary was getting involved in it too, and she didn't have to do the dishes. You know, she's like, fine, I do the cooking, you do the dishes. Why don't you help me serve? And she was mad. She wanted to serve, but on her terms. You know, sometimes folks, even in a VBS situation, somebody's like, well, I want to teach the third and fourth grade class. You know, well, if I can't teach third and fourth grade, I'm not coming. It's like, I want to serve, but I'm going to serve where I want to serve. Do you understand? Of course, nobody in our church would ever even think that, let alone do that. But just in case, we're going to head the devil off at the pass, you know. But sometimes we think, well, I'll serve the Lord, but I'm going to do it in my own way. Right? Do you think the way we do things matters? Huh? How many of you think the way you do stuff matters? Let me see your hand. Okay. I think about two guys. Was it Hophni and Phinehas that offered strange fire upon the altar? You see, they got the job done, but they didn't do it in the way that God said to do it, did they? So what happened? Dropped over dead. God killed them, right? Because God was not interested in just igniting the fire upon the altar. He was interested in the way in which it was done, right? Someone said one time and asserted in a book that it was the death of Jesus that affected our salvation, and so it would not have mattered the mode of death so long as He died. Well, the way that He died mattered. It had to be the shedding of blood. It couldn't have been, some other way. It had to be according to what the Bible said. The way was important. And she wanted to serve, but in the way she wanted to serve. And this week we told the children about Jonah. And Jonah said, okay, Lord, I'll serve You, but I want the job, the staying in Israel job. I don't want the transfer in Nineveh, right? How many of you remember that? He's like, I'll serve You, Lord, so long as I get to stay in an Israel job and I get the desk job in Israel, but if You're going to give me a transfer to Nineveh, forget it. I don't want it, right? And sometimes we say, Lord, I'll serve You as long as it's here, as long as I'm doing that. And Martha said, Lord, I'll continue serving so long as things are going the way I want. I want it to be on my terms. I want to have sufficient enough help, and I want it to be respected and appreciated. And obviously the Lord didn't appreciate how much burden was on her, or He would have done something about it. Right? That's what she thought. She wanted the Lord to give her what she thought was right. You know, folks, let me ask you a question. If we got what we had coming to us, what would we get? It'd be hell. It'd be hell. If we got what was coming to us, right? So she wanted, Lord, you're going to have to make this situation right. It's not right that I had to cook and serve and probably do the dishes while Mary's just sitting there, lazy Mary, just sitting there doing nothing like a bump on a log. Lord, this isn't right. Do you know what I found out? If you're looking for rightness and equity and justice this side of heaven, you're going to be upset all the time. How many of you have ever been passed up on a promotion and somebody you thought wasn't worthy of one got one? Yeah, me either. Sometimes life is not fair. But we can't serve the Lord only when we think everything is fair. We can say, Lord, if nobody's going to serve you, I'll still serve you. I mean, many of you grew up in a home like I did with a mom that said, listen, right is still right even if no one is doing it. And wrong is still wrong even if everyone is doing it. Right? And it's still right for me to serve the Lord even if nobody else is doing it. Even if no one appreciates what I'm doing. Even if I don't think I'm getting my comeuppance in life. You see, I'm not doing it so that I can have justice. I'm doing it as an act of pure worship unto the Lord. I'm not just giving God my terms for service. Martha was trying to serve God himself, which only produced frustration. She wanted to serve God, but on her terms. And she wanted the Lord to give her what she thought was just and right. And so what happened? She sat in judgment of her sister. She thought, Mary doesn't deserve to sit down there at the feet of Jesus. She's not even doing anything. Right? Now, none of us would have ever had those thoughts, would we? No. But what happened was that she was revealing a lack of balance in her life. Sometimes when we read the story of Mary and Martha, we say, I've got to be Mary or Martha. But you know, it's not one or the other. God wants us to take the qualities of service and the qualities of selfless worship and blend them together into a life that is offered without reserve unto the Lord. It's not one or the other. It's not Mary or Martha. God wants us to have a heart that's right before Him, but hands that are yielded to serve Him. And where do the hands come into action? When the heart is in the place that it should be. And so we find that she was revealing a lack of balance in her life. You know, I believe that there are a lot of people that are frustrated. They're filled with anxiety and care. And they feel like if I go to church, you know, more than once a week, my life is going to be out of balance. But can I tell you this? That when God made you, He made you in His image. How many of you know that? When God created man, you go back and you read it in the book of Genesis, He said, let us, plural us, okay, create man in our, plural pronoun, our own image, okay? And what does that mean? That means that He made man in the image of God, and God is not flesh and bone. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when God created man, He made us spirit, soul, and body. Just like we have the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Or Holy Ghost, whichever. But look, God exists in three parts, so He made man in three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Did He not? Yes, He did. Okay, so how many parts are there to you? Three. Spirit, soul, body. The spirit of the man is the part that God speaks to. That is our God consciousness. The Spirit of God reveals things to us in the Spirit. He opens the eyes of our spiritual understanding to see the truth out of the Word of God. He convicts us of sin. He guides us. He reminds us of what the Lord has spoken to us. That's a ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay, spirit, soul, that's my mind, my will, and my emotions, right? So that's my thinker, my feeler, and my chooser. So that's the part of me that wants to gain academic knowledge and wants to have experiences on a soul level. We look for a soul mate, someone that we can relate to on an intellectual, emotional level. Okay? And then there's the body, and that's the part that we feed and clothe and bathe and rest and we spend a lot of time on. Okay? I'd say we spend a whale of a lot more time on the soul and the body than we do on the spirit. And I'd say the person that does that has a life that's out of balance. Imagine, if you would, a tripod. Right over here is a camera that sits on a tripod. Okay? That tripod has three legs. Okay? If we just decided we're going to shorten up on the third leg, what's going to happen to the tripod? It's going to fall over, right? It's not going to balance anymore. It's going to be out of balance. God made you spirit, soul, and body. And you know what? There's a lot of people that have neglected the spiritual part. Mary got plugged in to the spiritual part first. She got life. By the way, we won't take the time this morning to do it, but if we go through the New Testament, what we're going to find Mary doing? Serving. Three times we find Mary, three times she's at the feet of Jesus in the Bible. The last time we find her at the foot of the cross. But I would say to you that there were two results, finally. The result of Mary's choice is that what she chose was good and it would never be taken away. You see, the Bible tells us in verse 42, one thing is needful, and Mary hath what? Chosen. She made a choice. It wasn't just like it came upon her, this balanced life came upon her. No, she chose that. And that's a choice that every person must make, is to get plugged into Jesus, and that's where it begins. If we choose to ignore that part, you can look at Christianity and from your perspective in life say, listen, these people are all out of balance, but in reality they're the only ones that can be balanced because they're giving some attention to the third part of who they are. And really, the truth is this, that the only part that is eternal is spiritual. Because man is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. And is this body going to live forever? I could put it in a cryogenics chamber. I could try to do whatever I want to do. But the reality is this body is going to return to dust. It's not eternal. My soul is a part that distinguishes me apart from other people. But my spirit will live forever in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're born again. And what happens is the Holy Spirit of God makes us alive in the Spirit. He quickens us. So we were born once physically, we're born again spiritually, and the word quicken means to bring to life. And the Holy Spirit, by His own power, brings us to life. So there were two results. One, Mary made a choice. It was the better part that would never be taken away. And the result of Martha's choice was that she would suffer loss. You know what that meant? That, yeah, she was serving a lunch to Jesus, but would there be any reward in it? No. You know why? It was all about Martha. It wasn't all about Him. It was all about, what's Mary doing? It wasn't all about Jesus. It was all about, are you appreciating me? Are you seeing what I'm doing here? She was going to suffer. And can I tell you something? Frustration comes from having nothing to show for your efforts. How many of you have ever invested money in something never came to anything? How many of you have a friend that's in business and they want you to come to an opportunity meeting? Some of you got sucked into that too, didn't you? Right? You know what I'm talking about? You got a friend that's in business. We want you to come to a Tuesday night opportunity meeting, and all you got to do is put up $499, and you can be a charter member, and you can start making all kinds of money hand over fist, and build your downline. You'll become wealthy in no time. And you know what? I wish I had a nickel for every person that I've met that put $499 into MLM and never got one single penny back from it. You know what that is? Frustrating. Frustrating. You know what? I'm telling you, I've seen people decorating for VBS, put all this stuff up on the wall, and then kids come in, little kids, and while the teachers aren't looking, tear it all down. You know what that is? Frustrating. But let me share something with you, can I? There's a lot of people who are religious, and they're trying to do all this work, hoping that they're going to go to heaven. But you know what you're going to get out of it? Frustration. You know why? Because you're not going. You're not going. You say, who do you think you are? Nobody. I'm nobody. But the Bible says, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So you know what God said? Not keep the commandments, go to church, don't drink, smoke, dance, drink, or cuss, or chew, or carouse with them that do, wear your seatbelt, pay your taxes, be kind to animals, you know, register to vote. You know, think globally, act locally, whatever. You know, people have all these things in their mind. If I do all these things and I'm a good person, that I'm going to get to go to heaven? Who said? Who said? You tell me who said that. It's not in the Bible. So you made that up, so now you're God? So you're perfect? No. You know what God said? It's not by works of righteousness. To him that worketh not. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. So it's not by keeping the commandments. God wants to give you a gift. He wants to give you the opportunity to have peace in your home, peace in your heart. But it begins, first of all, with peace with God. And it is a choice which you must make. Just like Joshua stood before a million plus Israelites before they crossed over the Jordan River, and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You got to make a choice. And I'm saying to you that Mary chose the better part would never be taken away. What will you choose today? Will you choose to have a balanced life? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior for the forgiveness of sins and the knowledge of a home in heaven, right there is where it begins. That's how you can start to deal with the drama in your heart, the conflict in your heart, that's spilling over into the conflict in your home. You got to deal with getting alive. It's a choice you make. Here we see two sisters in contrast. One had peace, and the other was agitated and aggravated. Mary chose Jesus to sit at His feet. Martha chose service. But only real, enduring, joyful service, it emanates from a heart of worship to the Lord. We will never truly worship Him as we should worship Him until first we say yes to His offer of salvation. These ladies eventually came to the foot of the cross. Mary was at the foot of Jesus' cross, and had to receive the sacrifice that He paid for her sin. And she realized it wasn't her washing His feet with the hairs of her head that got her to heaven. It was the shed blood of Jesus alone that purchased that for her. And she was unworthy and undeserving of it. And so was Martha. But in the end, the Lord saved them both. The Lord wants to save you. You might be the aggravated, stressed out person. God loves you. He wants to save you. You might be at rest right now, but you don't know for sure really that you're on your way to heaven. God loves you. He wants to save you. What I'm saying today is, make the choice that will last forever and will never be taken away. Do you know what the Lord said of salvation? All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll never take salvation away from these sisters. Never perish. You think about that today.